Republicans in Congress made repealing the Affordable Care Act a priority during the first days of the new administration. But President Trump now says it may take until next year to repeal or repair Obamacare. We're joined now by one of the architects of the law, Kathleen Sebelius. She was Secretary of Health and Human Services from 2009 to 2014 and is currently CEO of Sebelius Resources. Secretary, welcome. And what are you thinking about as you watch President Trump and the Republicans try to figure out what to do about the Affordable Care Act?
Well, I'm thinking about the people who still come up to me every day, whether I'm in an airplane or walking down an aisle in a grocery store or on the street, who tell me their medical stories and tell me how their life has been changed and improved since now they have affordable health care. I'm really terrified that a lot of pain is coming to folks who don't deserve it and really don't expect it, and that there really isn't any plan for those folks going forward.
Well, what do you think about the argument that's being made by Trump and the Republicans that the system is collapsing on its own? Republicans have been saying that the Affordable Care Act is entering a death spiral of skyrocketing costs and declining enrollment. Let's listen here to Paul Ryan, the House Speaker, at a CNN town hall in January before Trump's inauguration.
And we see the worst is yet to come. The insurers are telling us they're going to pull out of whole states now. So we've got to step in front of this problem, because as Republicans, we could just say, I think the president-elect said this yesterday, we could just sit back and watch it all happen and say, look at what the Democrats did. That would be irresponsible for us to do that. So we have to step in and rescue people from the collapse of this law.
Is that true in your mind, that Obamacare is doomed without a fix?
I don't think so at all. And unfortunately, Paul Ryan has been at the front of the train trying to do damage to this law since the president signed it in 2010. I think that what most economists say is that the pricing that occurred for the open enrollment in 2017 is a one-time fix. Most of the insurers agreed that it was a one-time fix. And while there were rate increases in some places, there weren't rate increases across the board. And most consumers didn't pay those rate increases because their financial subsidies increased along with the rates. And I would just remind you, Jeremy, that prior to the Affordable Care Act being passed in 2010, people who were buying insurance on their own were seeing double-digit increases every year, and more and more people dropped out every year. So the market was absolutely on a death spiral. And I would say, if anything, the Affordable Care Act has stabilized it.
But, I mean, you mentioned the fact that the premiums have not gone up all over the country. But in some places, it's pretty shocking. I mean, as high as 116% in Arizona. And then you've also got the issue of insurance companies like Aetna deciding that they're going to pull out of a lot of the state exchanges because it's just not worth it for them to be part of it. Doesn't that signal to you that there is something going wrong with this law?
I don't think there's any question that more competition would be extremely beneficial. New companies came in 2014. More new companies came in 2015. When the law was passed, there was a protection for the first couple of years of what everybody knew would be a brand new market. So Congress wrote into the law kind of a risk protection, a way to rebalance people's margins so that they don't take a huge hit. Congress canceled that money and left a lot of insurers and a lot of the brand new co-ops holding the bag for very expensive customers with no way to balance their pool. So some just said, look, this isn't worth it. There's so much uncertainty. There's so much, this isn't our core business anyway. We're going back out. But again, I would suggest that the way to get more competition is not to cause more uncertainty, which is exactly what the Republicans and the Trump administration has done in a very short period of time, saying we don't know when the law is going to be repealed, making it clear they have absolutely no replacement, that they may well leave in place rules around insuring everyone with a pre-existing condition, and perhaps taking away everybody's subsidies, which would really be a killer for insurance companies.
Well, that's another question. Do you think that it's possible for Republicans to keep the popular parts of the law, like allowing people to stay on their parents' insurance until they're 26, or having a ban on insurance companies discriminating against pre-existing conditions, while getting rid of the unpopular parts of the law, like the individual mandate? Is it possible for the law to stick together if you don't have those things that many don't like?
Well, I think it gets very, very difficult. What the Republicans have said so far is we're going to keep things that everybody likes, and we're going to get rid of the financing, which allows currently 80% of the marketplace to actually afford their coverage since they don't have an employer paying a share. And we're going to get rid of any requirement that has individuals all having a personal responsibility to carry health insurance. If you take away the financing and if you take away some sort of rationale around everybody being part of the pool, you have destroyed the market. And there is no mandate that insurance companies have to participate, so they'll be the first out the door.
As you look back on the origins of the ACA, is there something that you would have done differently or you would have advised members of Congress to do differently that could have avoided this bitter back and forth at this point? For example, should there have been a public option in the ACA? Is there something that could have gotten us through it and fixed the healthcare system without getting to this point? Or do you think Republicans simply would have rejected anything that President Obama offered on healthcare?
Well, I think it would have been helpful to have Republican votes from the get-go. Frankly, no one has been able to come up with a very definite answer to that because most of the Republican amendments were added along the way, and the public option was dropped because there was such ferocious Republican and some Democratic opposition. So adding the individual mandate, which now has become a battle cry for Republicans as an example of the terrible things that the Obama administration has done to people, it's a Republican proposal. It was added to the bill as a personal responsibility measure. But I don't think there's any question, Jeremy, that from the moment the president signed this bill into law, the Republicans have been determined to stop it in the Supreme Court. A lawsuit was filed that very day by 27 Republican attorney generals. They failed at that to stop it in Congress. The majority Republican House has voted, I think, 55 times to repeal the bill and insisted that the only way to deal with this, and this was from day one, was to scrap it altogether.
So what does it tell you now that they haven't done that? Now they've gotten into office, they've gotten power, and now they're starting to back off of the scrap it altogether approach.
Well, ironically, we now have a situation where the majority of the American public is saying, we don't want the law repealed. We want the law to work. So I think Republicans are finding themselves in a difficult position. How do you make sure that 20 million Americans don't lose their health care? Promises are pretty easy to make, much tougher to keep. And the promise was you will have better insurance at a lower cost and you're going to love it. I say, great, I'm all for it. Let's see the plan before you begin dismantling people's health care.
One more thing, Secretary Sebelius, you're joining us today from Topeka, Kansas. You were, of course, the governor of Kansas from 2003 until 2009. As somebody, a Democrat in a deep red state like Kansas, were you surprised at Trump's victory? And what is it like being a Democrat in Kansas in 2017?
Well, I'd say that some of the best news I had on election night actually came out of Kansas. We have had a governor since 2010 who actually has put in place a lot of the tax policies that are now being talked about at the federal level, cutting income tax, lowering tax on business owners, and promised economic revival, jobs would soar in Kansas. What Kansans now know is that that tax experiment has been a dismal failure. And in fact, many of the conservatives who voted for that tax were defeated in the primary election in August, and many more were defeated in November. Kansans have, at the same time they were casting a vote for Donald Trump, which is not surprising since the last time they voted for a Democrat in a presidential election was Lyndon Johnson's election. And I think what we're seeing here is actually a beginning of a push back against what have been some pretty regressive policies, all of which are now being talked about at the federal level.
Are you going to run for governor again?
I am certainly not planning to, but I'm eager to help the next generation who I think needs to speak up and stand up. I'm eager to do that.
That's Kathleen Sebelius, former governor of Kansas, former secretary of Health and Human Services under President Obama, and now CEO of Sebelius Resources. Secretary Sebelius, thanks so much for joining us.
Great to be with you.